On this news review, South Korea summoned Japan's ambassador as Tokyo's decision to remove Seoul's trusted trade status took effect. South Korea has launched a formal complaint and demanded Japan reverse its decision. Officials and lawmakers in Seoul have also met to discuss countermeasures. The meeting was presided by Prime Minister Lee Nak-yoon, who condemned Tokyo's move as unfair.
I deeply regret that Japan continues to take an unfair action. We once again urge Japan to refrain from further worsening the situation and sincerely respond to our offer of dialogue to restore relations.
The South Korean premier said his country would refer what he called Japan's economic retaliation to the World Trade Organization. Japan decided to drop South Korea from its white list of favored trade partners earlier this month. South Korea responded by removing Japan from its own white list of countries. Seoul also scrapped an intelligence sharing agreement with Tokyo. The two sides have long-running disputes over Japan's use of forced labor during World War II. The disputes have also led to trade and diplomatic tensions in recent weeks. Joining us now for this edition of the News Review is our correspondent Jennifer Chang, who's with us from Seoul. Also, international and independent China strategist Andrew K.P. Long join us from Hong Kong. Welcome to the program. Let's start off with Jennifer in Seoul. Jennifer, tell us more about the recent episode in diplomatic and trade tensions between Japan and South Korea.
Well, the South Koreans called in Japan's ambassador, Mr. Nagamine, today because Japan's export curbs took effect today. Those are export curbs removing South Korea from its white list of favored trade countries. That means over 1,000 categories could now be delayed reaching South Korea because they have to go through more stringent inspections. It's feared by Japan, they claim, that these 1,000 or more categories might be a risk to their security, that they might be, for instance, sent into North Korea. Japan justifies its trade curbs on South Korea by saying that they had allowed some sensitive materials used for semiconductors and displays to be accessed by North Korea. Initially, this was just three materials that they put the export curbs on, but they expanded that to this 1,000 or more categories. And that prompted South Korea to cancel a military information sharing agreement with Japan last Thursday. This is now becoming, you know, a more than just a diplomatic and political row. It's becoming a security row as well. It's threatening the U.S. security alliance. And of course, this agreement was the cornerstone of the U.S.-South-Korea-Japan trilateral military alliance. And there's increasing concern here in South Korea over the repercussions to the South Korea-U.S. military alliance. The U.S. has been voicing displeasure, very strong displeasure, over the cancellation of this military agreement. So this whole situation puts South Korea in a very tough spot now. They have very little they can do to Japan other than call in Japan's ambassador now. One of the reasons they canceled this military information sharing agreement was that it was one of the few ways that it could have leverage over Japan by threatening Japan, that if you don't stop your export curbs on us, we're not going to renew this military information sharing agreement. But Japan doesn't really need that agreement so much because they have better ways of collecting military intelligence. It's nice to have that additional information, but they don't necessarily have to have it. So South Korea is in a weak position. They need those export materials from Japan, and they have a lot to lose here. And now that they've canceled this military information sharing agreement, they've angered Japan. Japan is going to do more sanctioning say experts. More export curbs really start punishing and hurting South Korea's economy, which they are in a great position to do because South Korea needs Japan and its exports. So South Korea is in a bad position with Japan and with the U.S., with its alliance with the U.S. now going into new territory, uncharted territory that is terrifying to South Koreans. There's increasing terror here in South Korea.
Let's bring in Andrew Loinga, who's with us from Hong Kong. How dangerous is this feud between Japan and South Korea?
Hello?
What's going on?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Loing, are you with us?
Hello?
Mr. Loing, I'm going to repeat my question. How dangerous is this feud between Seoul and Tokyo?
Hello?
All right, unfortunately, we don't have Mr. Loing. Let's go back to hopefully we'll get that connection fixed. Jennifer, at this point, what is the remedy? How can they fix this deterioration of tensions between Seoul and Tokyo at this point?
Well, that's the problem, is that there's no way they can fix it, and it's just getting worse and worse. So many experts had predicted that South Korea would never dare cancel the JSOMIA agreement. And in fact, the U.S. was, you know, shocked by the cancellation of this agreement. And when the South Koreans said, well, we told you over and over again that we were going to cancel this agreement and we had your understanding, the U.S. said, yes, you told us you were going to cancel, but you did not have our understanding. From the U.S.'s point of view, it's an irrational move. And from Japan's point of view, it's an irrational move that the South Koreans have taken.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. Let's go back to Hong Kong. Hopefully we have Mr. Andrew Loing with us. Mr. Loing, how dangerous is this feud between Tokyo and Seoul?
Well, the spread between Korea, South Korea and Japan over the Second World War, I mean, has been off and on for many, many times, but nothing has grown into such a mutual confrontation. As pointed out, South Korea has more to lose, and then is threatening the Japan, South Korea, and United States triangle to contain China. So I think that the emphasis is on sensitive materials. I think the perception, apart from the history of the Second World War, is more like the sensitive components that could be used not only in South Korea, because South Korea is not a threat to the United States or Japan, but China, because South Korea has been in quite closer and closer relationship with China. And of course, that there is a 360 degrees pushback by the United States against China, not only trade, but technology, South China Sea, 360 degrees. And of course, some of the materials, some of the components of Japan's export to South Korea could well be re-exported or used by China, because the economic relationship between China and South Korea are getting closer and closer. So I think that this is one of the reasons. But however, if this is rattling this kind of triangle between the United States, Japan, and South Korea is not going to do the United States any good, because one of the things that the United States want to do is to place this THAAD missiles, the THAAD missiles, in South Korea so as to threaten China. But increasingly, South Korea is now revisiting this kind of deployment. So I think that this may be another tactic just to put pressure on South Korea to be distancing itself from too close relationship with China. But that is a tall order, because the two countries are interrelated in many, many different ways. There are lots of Korean businesses in China, and then China relies on a lot of the components from South Korea. And then over North Korea, both China and South Korea see eye to eye with North Korea. So I think that there are many, many things at stake. And of course, that this kind of latest spread is only one of a very complicated chessboard.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. KP Long joining us from Hong Kong. Also thanks to Jennifer Chang, our correspondent with us from Seoul. And with that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of Press TV's News Review. Do stay tuned, though. There's plenty more to come here on Press TV. Bye for now.